Amen. Father God, we just praise you and glorify you for this wonderful time that you've gotten us into, Lord. We praise you, Lord, that you're going to carry us through. We thank you, Lord, for your help in everything that we do to be that person that you want us to be. And that's the one that has died to self and is walking around in the spirit realm. Father, we thank you for doing that for each and every one of us. I praise you, Father, for being with us, taking our arms and guiding us and leading us into the things that you have us to do, Lord. I thank you for this wonderful time we're in. I thank you for all your provisions that you have already set in action. In Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for bringing all of our family members that we've been praying for so many years into the kingdom. In Jesus' name. And our friends that we've been praying for too, Lord, into the kingdom. And I thank you for that, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight I ask for your anointing upon everyone here to participate and to help us to understand about how to get close to you, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that tonight we have an open heaven and the things that we pray for, Father God, we know our prayers are answered. And we praise you for it because you've done it so many times in the past. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for your angels that are helping out in every situation that we need to have them in, Lord. And I thank you that they are part of the ministry as well. And we praise you, we glorify you for all that you're going to do in this group of people tonight, in Jesus' name. And I thank you for all the healings going to take place and all the deliverances that are going to take place and all the people that are going to come into the kingdom. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for this great revival you've got going on over there in the Muslim countries. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that the people are turning in to you, Lord, by the droves. And I praise you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that whole countries are going to turn over to be Christian countries and shut the doors of the Muslim hate crime, the hate people. And I praise you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for bringing down the deep state, too. And I praise you, Father, that you're cleaning up the country. You're cleaning up all the countries. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I thank you for opening up people's eyes to understand that these are not aliens that they're trying to push on us. These are demons straight from the pit. And, Father, we thank you for opening people's eyes to that, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for answering all our prayers tonight. And I thank you, Lord, for being our God. You are a loving, gracious, and merciful God. I like it, Lord, because if I stumble, all I got to do is confess my sin, and I'm instantly sanctified again. And I praise you and thank you for that opportunity to be that perfect person that you want us to be, Lord. And Jesus, I'm perfect in Christ. And I thank you for allowing us the privilege of walking with your Son. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, anybody else got a prayer request or a prayer they'd like to pray? Yeah, Teresa, go ahead. You'll have to unmute yourself. I can't unmute you. I can mute you, but I can't unmute you. There you go.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I want to keep lifting up Terry. You know, as you know, he, as the last resort, he finally made jail where he had to detox. And so, but he needs to not be discouraged. He needs to know that there's a hope he's ever going to get out of there. And, which he will, you know, like we prayed, God's raising him up, God's healing him. He's waking up and he said, oh, wow, that's all gone. You know, all the stuff that was there. And so, but I want to keep lifting him up because even when he gets out, where does he go to? You know, he needs God's provision and he needs hope, you know, that there's, you know, he's not going to be in there forever, which he's not. I mean, the only reason he's there is just to detox. And even his lawyer is trying to work it out to where, you know, as soon as he leaves jail, he goes straight into an inpatient treatment program, which, you know, you know, his lawyer, Tim Reiling, had him assessed, you know, talked to a gal that, you know, kind of assessed where he was emotionally and you know, in his life. And the only thing she determined, well, he just needs, you know, some inpatient treatment, you know, to get over, you know, his alcohol consumption. And so, which wasn't bad, you know, while he was working for the past 22 years, but when he went through these crushing life experiences, you know, he just went off the deep end and just, you know, got too addicted. And so, anyway, we already know God's healing him. We already know it's a done deal. But I would just like more provision for him, and that God would give him hope that, you know, he's just not there forever and we're just not all forgetting about him.
Okay. Well, Father God, I just lift up Terry to you, and I thank you, Father, for what you're doing in him. We know you're working in him, and that's good, and we praise you for that, Father. And we also praise you, Lord, for getting him ready for a new life, this new life with you, Lord.
Yes.
And if he's, and Lord, we thank you that you're going to grant repentance to him and bring him into the kingdom. And we praise you, Father, for working with him, and that you're going to place it in his heart to run after you, Lord, with everything that he has. And I thank you for that, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for shutting the door to alcoholism, any kind of addiction, cigarettes, whatever, anything, all of that, in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
And I praise you, Father, when it's time, you're going to let him out, and he's going to be running after you. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
thank you,
name.
Lord, that this is a time for him to reflect in this cell. And I praise you, Lord, that he's got a Bible, that somebody furnished him with a Bible that he can read and understand it. And I thank you, Lord, that when he opens up that Bible, it's going to just smack him right in the face.
Yes.
And the revelation that you give him. And I thank you for doing that, Lord, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus.
I thank you for your angels that are around about him while he's in jail to protect him and to minister to him, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Ted. Amen. Glory be to God. All right. I'm going to look for a new man. Go ahead, Julie.
I'd like to pray too. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for Terry and for saving him. I thank you, Lord, for the great faith that you've given his mom, Teresa. We bless her. Lord, we thank you for that. And we do lift up Terry. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do, that you have a purpose in all of this. And a lot of times you allow people to go to, you know, have to hit the bottom before they'll have to, you know, have nowhere else but to look up. And that you're working, even though it may not look like it or feel like it in his eyes or what he understands, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are, and you're going to show yourself merciful to him. We do pray for your mercy and grace upon Terry. And it is your mercy and grace that he is still here.
Amen.
And that he's got people who really love him and care about him and have reached out to him. And I thank you, Lord, that when his mind is totally clear, Lord, he's going to realize just how much people really do love him and care about him. And we take authority over these demons of discouragement and failure and disappointment and hopelessness, despairing, depression, and all these things that have entered in through rejection and being hurt and wounded. And that you are going to do a great and mighty work in Terry and his wife and kids. And there's going to be a great revival and a healing and a restoration for everybody. We've already declared that and decree it. And we know that you're doing it, Lord, because you hear the prayers of your children. You hear our prayers and intercessory. And it's on your name, for your name's sake, Lord. It's not because we deserve it. It's because we care and we have compassion just as you do, Lord. And we want to see the manifestation of the transformation in these people's lives, God. So I thank you, Lord, for doing these things, and we believe that it's done. We thank you, Lord, that all these demons are bound up and that you're softening Terry's heart. And he's going to come to the understanding where he has been wrong, God, because you're giving him this ability to see things in a clarity of thought and mind where he didn't have with under the influence of the alcohol, Lord. He couldn't see clearly. We bind up all that deception and command it off of him and his is wanting to hide it and bury the pain and try to, you know, cope with things that way. That's just the works of darkness. And that's all bound up. And we know that you're working. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. And we praise you and thank you, Lord, for the good report. And it doesn't matter what it looks like right now. Your mercies are new every morning. And you are faithful and you're just an awesome God, Lord. And we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you,
Father. Glory be to God. I believe it. Everybody believe that, don't you? Thank you, Lord. We do. We praise you. Thank you, Lord, that Terry's going to be a mighty man of God. We declare and decree it. All right. Anybody else want to pray? Lord, I thank you for this wonderful weekend. I thank you, Lord, that you have gotten your elect out of the way of all of these earthquakes that are fixed to happen. And I praise you, Father, for doing that. I praise you, Lord, that all of your angels sitting around waiting to bring people out of harm's way in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Okay. Yeah, Julie.
I have another prayer request. Y'all prayed with me here. What day it was? Is it Tuesday? But it's supposed to be really hot this week. It got over 100 degrees today. And Father, I just thank you for your mercy and grace, and that it's not going to get as hot as what they predict it's going to be. And I pray for the people who have to be out in it. If they're not used to that kind of temperature and being out in it, where it's dangerous, especially for a lot of older people, Lord, and I just pray your protection on them. I pray for your grace, and I've been hearing sirens off and on today, Lord, and I'm sure this is, you know, first responders going to whatever, to minister, Lord, to, you know, help people because of dehydration and heat stroke and that kind of thing. So I just pray blessings on all of that, Lord, and I do pray, Father, for your mercy that it's not going to get as hot this week is what they are saying through the weekend, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for normal, regular temperatures again.
Amen. But it's been nice around here. Okay, anyone else need to pray or have a prayer request or a testimony? I told Julie this earlier, but I was out at the blockhouse, Teleco blockhouse today, this morning, went out there quite early, and stayed out there for a couple of hours, and I knew that there was angels out there, because we had prayed those in there, and I couldn't see them, but I knew they were there, and I asked the Lord to let me see them, and sure enough, there was a big one at the blockhouse, and other ones were sitting on, there's a stone kind of a foundation thing there, along in the middle of this foundation thing, where the steps comes down out of one area into another area, and they were just milling about all over that thing. And then there was on the riverside, lakeside, there's another opening there where you can walk out, and there's two big telephone poles cut off. I made a fence out of it. And there was two angels standing on top of that. And then in the front, there was two angels standing beside the entryway. All it is just a couple of poles sitting there. And they were standing there. So it was awesome. It was awesome. I said, you go, God. Lord, God. And we had prayed while we were there, or I was there, was that everybody that came down there got blessed, that would get blessed to come down there. And if they touched that blockhouse, that they would get healed or delivered of anything that they had. And I believe God's going to honor that, because every time I go down there, I can feel the anointing that's around that area. It's good. So, praise God. It's my little hideaway. Praise God. And it ain't such a hideaway. People come in there. All right, that's just a little testimony. Anybody else got one? Yeah, Teresa.
I've been here in Kansas for about a year. And, so I had to get acclimated to it again, because I just was not used to this environment at all. And actually, I was never in this city at all either, you know, Topeka. So my son lives out in the country. So, and he wants to build me a cabin. But, you know, we've had to just do it a little bit at a time, you know, as we get the money. But in the meantime, God has really blessed my garden, you know, Jesse and Christina's garden and my garden. And, right in the cabin area where we were starting, I noticed that, you know, it's down a slope a bit. And I said, Jesse, you know, it's the spring, you know, as the winter snow and the spring rains, there was a little pond down there. So I said, Jesse, you're building my cabin right in the middle of a pond. So what I did is I said, well, okay, we're going to utilize this here. So I put melons down there. I put watermelons. I put cantaloupes. I put cucumbers. And, oh, they filled the entire area. I mean, north to south, east to west. I mean, that whole area was filled with leaves. So I was able to get bumper, you know, even with the chemtrails, you know, chemtrail every single day. Well, just about every single day. And even with that, I was able to get bumper crops, bumper cucumbers. I don't know what to do with them all. I'm trying to think, how can I give these away? And I even got some watermelons first time. I got cantaloupes first time. So, and then in another area of a garden that Christina and Jesse, you know, they gave me a little box there, and I had bumper crops there. So anyway, so I just want to praise Heavenly Father and Lord Jesus Christ for blessing that, you know, and giving me that provision. That was it.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Teresa. Lord, I thank you. It kind of puts me in the remembrance of the first garden we had while up here on the mountain. David and I didn't plant nothing. The Lord planted it all. But anyway, praise God. That's awesome. Is any melons ready? Yeah, watermelons ready?
Yeah, the watermelons were ready. Yes.
All right, send them, my angels, bring one over here, will you? Yeah, Julie wants one too. Yeah, Bessie wants one, so there you go.
I'll take one of each. I'll take one melon of each.
Yeah, there you go.
I've already cut them up and put them into pieces and put them in the refrigeration. So I can't send them whole anymore. They have to come in pieces, so I apologize.
Okay, that's even better. I ain't got to cut them, just eat them. All right, anybody else? I'm not much a watermelon man anyway. Okay. All right, did everybody get my text today about perfection through Christ? Page 99. Shake your head, yes, Andrew. Okay. All right. But what I thought we'd do, the reason I chose 99, page 99 in Perfection Through Christ, is because it starts right there with Matthew 19:21. And that's what Jesus tells them, to the guy, the young man. Anyway, we're going to talk about tonight, for those of you who don't know, we're going to talk about how to draw closer to God, how to draw nearer to God, how to listen to Him. And I'm going to read this out of Perfection Through Christ. I'm going to read the first paragraph. There's a pretty good passage. This is David's book, Perfection Through Christ, page 99. And it's the title, the subtitle of it is, Losing Your Life to Gain Your Life. There's a pretty good passage we can look at in Matthew 19:21. Jesus said unto him, If thou wouldest be perfect, you want to be perfect, go sell that which thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come, follow me. David says this. One reason a lot of people don't understand this verse is because they just don't believe it. And a person has to believe it before they can understand it. He says, notice that if a person wants to be perfect, there are some things the Lord commands them to do, and that He will demand of them. He will demand that we give up our life in this world and follow Him as a disciple. And that's the thing that we're finding out, is when we give up everything in this world, we'll draw nigh unto the Lord quicker. Because when you get rid of everything that's hindering your walk, you're going to hear the Lord clear. You're going to be in the Word more. You're going to have time to be in the Word a lot more. And when you're in the Word a lot more, you're drawing near to the Word. And the Word's who? It's Jesus. So that's what, that's just the start. Has anybody got any comments on just that particular part there? That's how you start, just like we've been talking about for weeks now, and that's surrendering all to the Lord. We talked about that book of Andrew Murray's last week, wasn't it? Andrew Murray, what is it? Humility? No. Surrendering myself. Surrender yourself. I think I'll forget what it is.
Is it called total surrender? Or absolute surrender?
Yeah, that's it. Absolute surrender. Yeah, he also has one called humility also. But that's what God's looking for. He's looking for us to surrender our life and to serve the lives of those around us in a way that would be beneficial to the kingdom. All right. I've had my say. Has anybody else got something on it? Or did anybody read that? I'm just asking. It's just going to be another one of those nights. Go, Julie.
Okay, it's a short section.
Yes.
Can we just read it now?
Sure. I'm going to start where it says, He will demand that we give up our life in this world and follow Him as a disciple. The young man in this passage had a lot of things distracting him from the kingdom. Can y'all hear me okay? Okay. The young man in this passage had a lot of things distracting him from the kingdom. In fact, they were his God, because when Jesus told him to do this, he couldn't do it. He was in idolatry. As much as he had sought to earn the benefits of the kingdom by keeping all the law from his youth, he knew he still lacked something. Well, if you want to be perfect, you need to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Jesus. You need to do what is demanded and give up this idol, this distraction. Remember one of the problems previously mentioned in Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. And that which fell among the thorns, these are they that have heard. And as they go on their way, they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. One of the biggest problems in a prosperous society is distraction. The distraction of the world. And we need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and deny ourselves. We've got a very huge, could be distraction or a blessing coming up. Looks like tomorrow, with all of this money that the government's fixing to give away. And the thing that we have to remember, it's not our money, is it? It's God's money. And everything that we spend this money for has to be toward the kingdom. Prosper the kingdom. And that's where some people are going to get lost because of it, because they can't handle it. They've still got a lot of world in them. They've still got a lot of flesh in them. And a lot of money in the flesh don't work good. So it has to be a discipline type thing to listen to the Lord, to how He wants you to operate in this type of realm. We've got a great large revival coming. That's already started, as a matter of fact, over in the Middle East. It's already started over there. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but Iran has already closed down a number of mosques. Praise God, you know. And the same thing is happening in a lot of those other countries over in the Middle East. We got our people out there in the Middle East the angels are having trouble keeping the books up. No, they're not, but you know what I'm saying. There's a lot of people coming to Christ over there. And there's a lot of books getting spread out in many countries over Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, Yemen, Uganda. Golly, all those places over there. I don't know all those countries over there, but they are being brought to Jesus. They're tired of the hate. They're tired of the bondage. And they see where Jesus can set them free. Glory to God. And they're going for it, and they're running after it with all their heart. And the mullahs and mullahs, or ever what they call themselves, can't keep up with it. So they're turning too. Praise God. That's awesome. But I said that because there is a demand on us to give sacrificially. I understand that we have things that we need to take care of. That's fine. But don't let it go to your head, you know. You don't need a snowmobile down here. You don't need one. Okay. One of the biggest problems in a prosperous society is distraction, this destruction of the world. And we need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and deny ourselves. Listen, the Lord told us, your kingdom is in heaven. God wants us to bring the kingdom of heaven down here. And we do that by how? Getting close to God and knowing what to do, when to do it, what to say, how to say it, the words of knowledge that you get, all of these things that belong in the spiritual realm. You're going to be walking in the spiritual realm in a mighty way. That latter day anointing is going to open up a new realm in the spiritual realm for all of us. and the world has no place in it. And it's going to be to do one thing, and that's to bring the people into the kingdom. That's what it's going to be used for. All right, let's go on. Some people don't think that Christ calls us to deny ourselves. If you don't lose your life, you won't gain your life. Do you really want to be perfect? As far as I'm concerned, there's no choice. Is eternal life with perfection, or is corruption and separation from God that is offered down here? And it's just a very short time as compared to eternity in heaven. Sitting at his feet is the subject of the next one. Here's a good example in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now as they went on their way, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and she came up to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister did leave me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. But the Lord answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, for Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You see, in seeking first the kingdom, this is something that will not be taken away from us. What did he tell us in, I believe it was, the last verse in Matthew 6, somewhere along there. Anyway, you run after the Lord with all your heart, everything else will be put into place for you. You'll get everything you need. Anybody got any questions or any comments about what we've read so far? We're coming into one of the greatest times in the history of man. Within days, I'm talking about days, not months, not years, but within days. And this is why this is very critical, to understand what it is to give it all up for the Lord. That also means giving up idols. What's an idol? I don't know. Whatever you like more than you like God. I like what David says. He said, whatever's on your mind the most is what is your idol. If Jesus is most in your mind, then that's a good idol. You can run after him. What if something else is football game or whatever it is? Get rid of it. Renounce it. I renounce YouTube in the name of Jesus. How's that? I'll get started. I renounce Instagram in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew. I figured you'd fix to come in here.
You know, most of us here look like we remember the day when there was none of this Instagram stuff and YouTube and stuff like that. So we should be old hands at this. Anyways, I know. I just also would like to mention that the Father wants to have a wedding feast for his son. And he invited those bidden. These were saved people he invited in this parable that Jesus taught us. And one guy had bought himself a new piece of land, so he didn't have time to come. Excuse me, Lord, I can't come to the banquet, you know. And some other guy bought 5 yoke of oxen, you know. Today, you know, he might buy 5 tractors, you know. 3 used ones and 2 new ones, you know. So if he's got no time because he's got to go see if his tractors work, or another guy's got married, you know, I have to go on my honeymoon, you know. And you know, you should have all this these things. There's nothing wrong with it, having a piece of land, but you see, there are other more important things. You know, it kind of sounds like that verse in Luke that he was talking about. And, you know, that there are people, that think it's once saved, always saved. But I would say that they should read Matthew 25, because you got 10 virgins there. Who are the 5 wise and who are the 5 foolish? They all went to church, I think. So, you know, he's comparing the kingdom to these people. I just, you know, there are some things that we must depend upon the Lord for his leading of all these things. Anyway. That's all I wanted to bring up. Was that little, the guy who bought the piece of land and didn't have time to go read his Bible anymore, and didn't have time to pray, didn't have time to praise God. When you think of what could have been your eternity, I think it's time that you write some songs down on a piece of paper and sing them. Sing them, praise God. It's praying with music, and that's praising God. So, you know, what's that song there? What a friend we have in Jesus. Whenever I praise the Lord with that one, there's always some prayer that pops into my head while I'm praising him with that one. So praise God.
Amen. That put me in remembrance of Debbie's word that she got. I've read this before, but I'm going to read it again. This is on 4/19/2024. That was April 19, 2024. This is the time to stop thinking about yourself. A mind on self is a worldly mind. Put it far from you. This is the time to have your mind focused on what I'm doing and how I am going to do it. And how I will use you and move through you. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ, who emptied himself and became obedient to his Father. He was not obedient to his own inclinations. He had none of his own inclination. He was totally yielded to every thought and way of his Father. And now you must be yielded to only me and my way of thinking. My way is love. My way is also judgment. My way is mercy. Think on these things. Come before me, ready to let me speak to you the things on my heart, that you will intercede from a heart ready to fulfill my will in this time. I have given you authority to bind and loose, and let this mind be in you. Listen to me. I have an agenda. I want to speak to each heart and mind who wants to line up with what I'm doing. Warfare. Do warfare. As you are taking in my word, you will know how to pray. And you will know what I precisely want you to warfare and give. Do you see this thing I have called you to do? Two, are you getting it? It's nothing about yourself or of yourself. It's my will. You are in my army. You are called to be soldiers. You are called to set yourself apart from the things of this world. Repent, change your mind, change your thinking, renew your mind with the things that make for peace through prayer, which is my will for you to do each day. There's only peace in that. There's no striving. Are you going to give yourself up to what I have need of you for? There's only peace in giving up, and there's a work that needs to be done. Wars for souls that need to be won. Feel the freedom. My thoughts for your thoughts. My ways for your ways. my desires for your desires. Let us build the kingdom together. And I can do it without you, but it would mean casting you aside. Oh, my people, how that thought breaks my heart. My people, hear the word of your Lord. Think on these things and act accordingly. And then another person had this. He said, as Debbie got through with that, I started hearing a voice, and he said, when you're free from self, that's when you have the calm in your storm. When you're free of self, that's when the sea splits so you can reach the other side. When you're free of self, only then can you love me and the ones around you. When you're free from self, that's when you'll be able to enter my presence. Am I worthy enough for you to give yourself up to be with me? Yes, you are, Lord. Thank you, Father, for giving us these words that will change us and turn us to you, Lord, with all our hearts. In Jesus' name. We've only got a few days left. Let's just give it all to the Lord these next few days. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. I renounce everything that has hindered my walk with you, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for taking it from me and building us up into that great, mighty man and woman of God that you want, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, Andrew, did you have something you wanted to say? I saw you raise your hand a while ago.
I was leaning towards zealous for doing those things, but it's kind of like a humility at the same time. I kind of wonder, you know, like, wouldn't you want that zeal to do that for the Lord? Wouldn't you want to serve to that capacity, to those things that he's asking us in that, the list of things there? You know, it would be really wonderful to serve God and do stuff like that for him, as long as he's doing it all through us. And it almost made me like match zealousness with humility and to do the same thing at the same time. And I know it's kind of hard to fathom to put those two words together, but he did try to tell me something there. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. You know, I'd sure like to serve God. It would be so happy. You know, it would be so joyful to do it. I think with the joy of the Lord to do those things, you know, it's all those blessings that he blesses you with to do it, through the blessings. You know the blessings. We studied the blessings in Matthew chapter 5. Is there a zeal somehow attached to those blessings to want to do those things? How does it come out of us, you know? If we live by the word of God, living is the word of God, and active, it's activated in us, you know, and everyone has it as he would activate it in you. So I'm just trying to think out loud here. That's all I'm thinking. So praise and glory to God.
Amen. Kind of at a standstill here.
Yeah, I just want to say one more thing. You know, you remember when you were a little kid and Daddy asked you to do something and you were going to be so pleased to want to do it because he never asked you before? I wonder if that's a similitude to what we're going to have. You know, you were so beaming happy to do that for dad or for mom, because they asked you to do something one time. And you, especially like if you're the youngest kid in the family, because they never asked you. And you wanted to do it, you know. You should talk to your siblings about that. Anyway, praise God.
Amen. Okay. I have a problem here. Sunil, let me ask you a question. Have you read The Man, Child, and the Bride book of David's or Hidden Manna? Can you hear me, Sunil?
Yeah, I can. Yes, I've read the Hidden Manna long ago.
Oh, you have? So you understand that the rapture is at the end of the tribulation, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, few days left until the wilderness starts, until the tribulation starts. And we're getting ready for that. We're getting ready for the anointing of the man-child and the anointing of the bride. And those that have faith to believe and those that have given up, sacrificed for the Lord, are the ones that are going to be in the bride. And the man-child. The man-child ministry, of course, if you read David's book, Man-Child and the Bride Prophecy, is the one that comes on earth that acts like Jesus, talks like Jesus, walks like Jesus. And there's going to be somewhere around 144,000 of them across the world. And it's going to be an awesome, awesome time for God's people, because these people are going to be walking and doing the signs and the wonders in the world, all over the world, bringing people to Jesus. Yeah, go ahead, Julie.
Oh, just something that was coming to me when you're talking about, you know, just a few days. It's like, in comparison, once everything starts, we have a very few days to just. I mean, seven years is going to go by so fast, and really the first 3.5 years, you know, before the mark of the beast. And it's like, it's just going to be, we're going to be so busy. So it's like a few days in comparison to, you know, it's not long.
No.
That's what I was thinking too. That's kind of what I thought you meant, Michael, when you're saying we have just a few days and we have to do a lot of work in a few days.
Yeah. We've had all this time to prepare for the days ahead. And this is when God's going to populate heaven with the most people during this time. It's going to take a lot of people to help out, to bring these people in. And God's going to do it first with the shaking and pestilence and all of that stuff there. And it's going to shake the church first. He's going to clean up the church first. These churches that have denied the Holy Spirit, denied the Bible, that's the ones he's going to get his people out of. He's going to get them out of there. And it's going to be the man-child ministry heading it up. And they're going to be just like Jesus. They're going to be listening to Jesus, to telling them what to do every step of the way. And that's why the Lord wants us to be close to him, so we can hear him when we need to hear him. And that's all the time. We should be, you know, taking Jesus everywhere we go. He's with you all the time now. Talk to him. That's what he wants. He wants us to talk with him. Spend time with him. Spend alone time with him, so you can hear his voice and understand his voice. And read and study the Word of God. So you'll understand and have discernment during this time. That's what's going to get us through is the Word of God, walking behind it and walking with it. Anyway, that's what I was talking about as far as the time. The time of deal is right here upon us. The tribulation is fixing to start. I'm not saying it's going to, you know, I don't know when it's going to be, but it's going to be within just a few days, I'm thinking. Because of what the visions and the dreams and the words that we've gotten. And I will say this, as David said the other night, it's not going to be as these earthquakes are not going to be as devastating as we once thought. It's going to have a lot of grace, but it's still going to happen, but it's going to be in a much milder way. It's still going to happen. From what I understand, that the 144,000 of the man-child ministries that are will be going up to heaven in a throne room experience and getting anointed by the Lord and getting instructions by the Lord, and then we'll come back down and start leading the bride into the tribulation. And as far as the anointing, you should be filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit now. This baptism that you're going to get in heaven is going to be the latter day rain, which would be the former rain and the latter rain together, anointing on the man child. And that's to bring us through the tribulation, to get us through all of that. The reason I'm saying this is I'm being asked these questions. So that's basically in a nutshell. And there's 144,000, we think, could be more. But that's what we're kind of believing, is that there's 144,000 man-child ministries across the world. And I could say the other thing, but I'm going to back off of that right now. Anyway, that's it basically. Anybody got any more comments on what I'm talking about here? Yeah, Judy.
Just would add that that's kind of what, you know, Michael and David have both been teaching about. In the last several months, is about sanctification and being ready, because all these things are about to start. I guess that's, I would just add that, that's why, because we know it's soon. We all won't be ready.
Chanel asks, is the Holy Spirit being given to the 144,000 now, if I have understood it correctly? As far as the anointing goes, the latter rain, it'll be sometime in the next few days. We think that anyway. That's what we're thinking. It's going to be probably this weekend sometime. And according to what we feel like the Lord has told us. So, yep, that's the anointing, the latter rain anointing. Hopefully in the next few days. How many of you ready to go home with the victory? Amen. I am. I don't know about y'all, but I am. I'm ready to go ahead and get this thing going and get going through it. I always wanted to go through it. I've always wanted to go through the tribulation because of all the great and wonderful things that God's going to do during this tribulation. It's going to be an awesome time. It's going to be things done in the tribulation that it's going to blow a lot of people's minds. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do. He said, greater things you're going to do. Well, praise God, we've got to do the former things first. Amen. I know some of us have, some of y'all have, but there's a lot of things that he did, and if you go back through the Bible, you'll understand what I'm talking about as far as miracles and things that God did in the Bible. And sometimes we read over it and we say, oh, that's just those guys. No, everything that you've seen in the Bible is available to us today. Everything. That's going to happen in Amos 2 and 25. I don't know. We'll talk about that. So Neil asks everyone, he said, I still haven't been able to understand when Amos chapter 2 verse 25, pouring out the Holy Spirit on all flesh is going to take place. That's a good question. You probably met Joel, didn't you? I thought that's what he meant. That's okay. I knew what you meant. Yeah. That latter rain anointing is on all flesh, on the bride and the man-child ministry. If you're reading that book called The Man-Child and the Bride, Prophecy, it talks about all of that in there. That's a good book. I just got through reading it here a few months ago. Okay, anybody else? Well, if you've read Hidden Matter, you understand about all the characters in that are all corporate characters in this end time. As Hidden Matter already showed us, it's all corporate stuff. The Antichrist is already here. The beast is already here. That's the world. That's the world system. Anybody else? What did I do with that? Anybody else? Got anything on losing your life? Okay, I'll go ahead and read this, sitting at his feet. Many people are ruled by the norms of society, what is right to do and what is wrong. Of course, we'll do right when the Lord works in us to will and to work of his good pleasure, Philippians 2 and 13. But if we sit at the Lord's feet until he sends us to serve, we'll be serving him. There are many people running around serving, and they think they're serving the Lord, but he says there's only one thing that's needful. It's something that will never be taken away from you. The religious world loves to get you into service for God because you'll be so busy you won't have time to seek him for yourself. That's not the will of the Lord. Remember, Jesus commanded, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Matthew 7:5. First, he wants us to get right with him, to sit at his feet and serve him. Then he can use us. He can use one submitted servant of God more than 10,000 lukewarm people. And what this one person will be doing is the will of God. I remember when I first got saved. I got saved in a mainline denominational church. And the first thing they did was put me to teaching their children. Teaching their children of all things. I didn't think about it until later because, just a new Christian, I thought that's what everybody did. They give you a little booklet and you go in there and you read the booklet to them. And And then you discuss what it means. Of course, you don't know what it means other than what the booklet says. And that's teaching the children from a new guy that he just got saved. How many of you would like to have your child taught by somebody who just came into the kingdom, a baby Christian? I don't think I would. Well, I know I wouldn't. But that's what they do. That, like this David said, they try to get you busy so you don't seek out the Lord and find out the truth. I remember I had a dream. I had a vision, actually. I had a vision about the church I was in. It was a big church. And I saw people all around the sanctuary, lined up around the sanctuary, and the Holy Spirit came in. Bam! Boy, everybody was blasted by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit came in and anointed everybody. And a little bit after that, I knew that I was fixing to leave because the Lord had told me that I was going to leave and go help this pastor over in another place. This, I had already been out on the streets at this time and was seeing people getting healed and delivered and set free. And it was still in this mainline denominational church, but I'd been in there about 6 months, 6-8 months. And I went to the pastor, and I told him about that dream I had, that vision I had. And I asked him, I said, Brother, is this somewhere you might be taking this church? And the thing he told me, laid with me all these many years, and I've never forgotten it. And I've often, you know, thought about it. He said, Michael, this is just not my ministry. The Holy Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, was not his ministry. And I said, okay. I said, well, I'm going to be leaving. I said, I'll wait until you find somebody to take my place in the children's teaching over there. He said, no, it might be better if you just go with me. And he didn't say it in a nasty way. He just said it, you know, just to let it go. And I liked the guy. He was a good guy. I liked him. You know what happened? It wasn't a year later. He got filled with the Holy Ghost at his daughter's husband's church in another town. And they kicked him out of the church because he tried to bring it back to the church. So he did. That was what that dream was about, I believe. That he was going to bring it there. And he brought it there. But they didn't want it. I wonder how many times that's happened. It happened to me once. And another, years later, at another mainline denominational church. And I wasn't even on the church property when I was teaching people about getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. Never getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. And one of the people went back and told the pastor. And boy, he got mad. Anyway, that's the type of thing is fixing to come in the Christian world. Is you're going to have people coming against you when you start showing up with the signs and the wonders following you. People start leaving their churches and coming to the Lord in a mighty way. And that's why God wants us to be ready for that. And the only way to get ready for that is to listen to Him. Be listening to Him at all times. All right. Sitting at His feet. Oh, I've already read that. David says in the next paragraph, go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry, I didn't see your hand till just now.
Oh, sorry, that's fine. I just want to tell you just what you were talking about now, asking question is, how would you don't know the Bible, teach children. I remember, sorry, just my experience now. I was quite a few years ago. And I, after my first divorce, I met a friend and she invited me to this church. I was there just maybe a couple of weeks when I started, with teaching the children about the Bible. And I put my, I'll be honest that I don't know much about the Bible that time. I was just teaching them, learning them, or well, showing them. But the most thing I learned there is, then I started learn about the Bible, and somebody gave me a CD from David, and I started learning that. That changed my life. But at the small church when I, at the teaching with children, the most thing I learned was there is the love. The people, the children taught me more about love than I could teach them about the Bible. At that time. So that's why my life started changing, is because I didn't know the Lord at all that time. I just started because I know I need something to change my life. I was at a really bad place. And the first, I think it's a couple of times, one little girl and a come to me and just gave me a hug and says, it was really, nice with your reading. She experienced a story, so that just showed me is she didn't have any love at home. That showed me how much I know about love, how much I know about love to teach the children, teach the heart of God. And that changed my life completely in thinking about God is looking out for his people. Jesus died for everybody, but not everybody going to come to him. And that changed my life, and that was my starting point of my experience with the Lord, and it was awesome. I started teaching children, well, not teaching, I was reading for the children, and they teach me more about love, and I teach them about the Bible. That changed my life, and that was a humbling experience just to think that I should have teach them, but they teach me more than but I should teach them. So thank you, Lord, for changing my life, changing my direction, and give me grace for that. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I love teaching those kids. I enjoyed that.
Yes. And it was especially that first, when that little girl gave me a hug, she said she enjoyed it. That changed my life. That was an awesome experience. But just after the divorce, while I was busy teaching the children about love, is because I know that the children that was born in my marriage wasn't my children. That was a big point in my life. So, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else? I'm going to go ahead and finish this out. About this paragraph. Many people do more or less the will of God. Can y'all hear me okay? Y'all gonna make me put this microphone right out here in the middle of the... Many people do more or less the will of God, but we're learning to do the pure will of God as we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's how we come into the understanding of what the perfect will of God is, as Romans 12:1 says, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice unto him, serving him with all of our heart, not being distracted by society, social norms, or whatever. The Lord has accomplished all this for us so we can rest in him. It's not anxiety. It's not struggle. It's not striving. If you shove a seed into the ground, that seed is powerful to break that heavy ground and to bring forth the fruit. It doesn't have to struggle. It's a natural thing. Christianity is a natural entering into his rest. He does the work in us, and that work will not be found fruitless because the Lord is going to finish the good work he started in us until the day of Jesus Christ. We need to put our faith in his promises and in his word. Take it out of trusting in men and without questioning. Just rest in the truth that he speaks. Amen to that. Just do all of that. And listen, if you think that you've waited too late, that's not never too late. Just go ahead and start doing it right now, you know. Go ahead and make up your mind to follow the Lord with all your heart. He'll use you in a mighty way when you do that. He'll use all of us in a mighty way when we do that. Glory to God. Y'all want to hear a good song? I forgot I had one picked out. I guarantee you, Andrew, get you up out your seat, brother. Boogie time. No, this is a good one. Okay, let's see if I can do this. I think you all know this one. It's a good one.
Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray. Come, Jesus, come. Let today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break, but I'm holding on to a hope that won't fade. And come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal. We and you'll stand face to face. Come and lay it all down, 'cause it might be today the time is right now. There's no need to wait. No, your past will be washed.
I love that song. That guy can sing, can't he? He's a bluesy kind of guy. Yeah, he can. The Lord wants us to be warriors for Him. And the way to be warriors for Him is to pray. Is to pray down things. To pray down things. And to pray for things. And I want to read something here from Progressive Intimacies. I don't think I've read it before, and I don't think anybody else has either, but I'm going to do it anyway. Can you hear me okay? I know I'm sitting back. Can you hear me? Y'all going to make me get up here. Get on this microphone. Professional microphone. Okay. My son, it is my desire and my will for you to know me above anything and everything else, for you to worship me, for you to love me in the way that I love you. I am giving unto you a new and fresh understanding of my love for you. You will begin to see in a new way, with new eyes, the great love wherewith I have loved you with. I will give to you a greater depth and understanding of the fullness and the extent of the limit that love went for you. You will help me to impart this to my body and my bride. How many of you know He went to the cross for us? For us, so that we wouldn't have to go through all of that. You will help me to impart this to my body and my bride, but it is my greater desire for my bride to know and to understand this for herself as she comes to me and I reveal myself to her direct. So understand that in the fullness of time, the revelation of the bridegroom will be revealed to the bride in entirety as she comes before me in intimate and passionate communion, and I, Jesus, impregnate her with the very seed of myself and of who I am. My bride will carry this child, this seed, this baby of my glory, and she will begin to groan and travail, and with great passion, she will give birth in and throughout the nation of the earth, glory to God. My glory will surely cover the earth, even as the waters cover the sea. Great shaking an awakening will continue in the midst of my church and my bride as the revelation of myself, the bridegroom, is understood throughout my body. They will begin to come to me direct and learn of me and of my ways, and they will be still and silent before me as they listen for my voice. I will speak to my sheep, and as she begins to communicate the mysteries of my spirit, my word will unfold unto her as she looks and understands with the eyes of her spirit. Even the Acts Church, as it was first seen, will be restored once again as the fellowship and the oneness and the communion of the first converts is seen once again. You will see the love of the true family restored as my body walks together unselfishly, each esteeming their brothers and sisters' own needs above their own. This is the selfless body that I desire. This is how I gave myself for the world, unselfishly loving the world. And even those closest to me who I knew would reject and betray me, Selah. This is the way in which I desire my bride to love. She will also give her life to me as a ransom for many, if she will truly understand that she was bought with a great price, and will understand her life is not her own, and will be willing to lay it down that the world might see and know that I, Jesus Christ, am truly Lord and King over their lives. Selah. I live for the day that my children will give themselves over to me completely. A few have, and their heavenly reward will be truly great. But yet many, many more will give themselves over to me completely in these final hours, as they understand that there is nothing greater than being conquered by my love. And let me conquer you, my bride. Let me conquer you with the passion and the love that caused me to stretch out my arms upon the cross for you. The blood that I shed and the death that I died was not only for you, my bride, but for every lost soul that you come into contact with that will be willing to receive me and my saving grace. I died for the entire world, and I desire that not one perish, but that all would come to repentance. You must be my hands. You must be my mouthpiece. You must be my love reaching and stretching out to a hurting, orphaned, and fatherless generation that has been left for dead. Be my life, my children. Be my hands and be my feet. Go to the nations and tell them of my great love. Selah. Received on Sunday, October 26, 2003. Glory be to God. How many of you know that that's for today, right now? That's for today, right now. I want to pray. And I want to pray a prayer for the church. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up your true church, Lord, to you. I thank you, Father, for the people that have dedicated their lives to you, Father, giving it all up for you, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Father, that the power that you give them, the authority that you give them, that they would be your hands, your feet, your mouth, your ears, your eyes, and your nose of your body, Lord. And that the things that they do would set people free throughout this whole country and the world. And I thank you, Father, for bringing out of the apostate religion all of your elect as they see the truth coming forth. And I praise you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing down all these apostate preachers that says God didn't do this, God didn't do that, God didn't do anything. And Lord, I thank you for doing that, bringing them down. I hope they repent, Lord. But whether or not they do or not, bring them down from teaching them the untruths. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for bringing down all the preachers out there that want faction, that have faction in them. My church is better than your church kind of deal. But Lord, I thank you for that. And these prosperity preachers, Lord, I ask and I pray that you'd expose them and bring them down, Lord, in the name of Jesus. They're an abomination to them and to your Christianity, Lord. And I thank you for doing that in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for bringing out of those apostate religions, those people that you have designated as your elect, and that they would be mighty men and women of God in these last days, Lord. And that you would grow them up fast, Lord, so that they could get out there and get to work too. And Father, we praise you for doing that for everybody, wherever we are, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you've done the same thing. You put a burning fire in our spirit, Lord, to preach the gospel and to bring lives to you, Lord. And I thank you for placing that in every man, woman, and child that call themselves yours, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for growing up people quickly, as you said in your word. And I thank you for doing that, Father. Growing them up so quickly, Lord, that they'd have your mind, they'd have your body, and they'd look like you, talk like you, act like you. And I praise you for doing that, Father, in a mighty way in these days ahead. In Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for clarity of thought for everybody here. Not only clarity of thought, that our minds would be rejuvenated to the fact that we could recall every verse that we've ever read. And I thank you when the time comes, and I thank you for doing that, Lord. I know that we've all experienced a part of that, and it's great, Lord. But I'm thanking you, Lord, that some people here may be preaching before thousands. And I thank you, Father, that not only would they preach the word of God, that would bring people to their knees, that the power of God would just go out and reach out and touch everybody there, Lord. And I thank you for that. Your anointing, Lord, would be awesome in places where churches were just nothing but just places to meet and talk about the ball game. And Father, I thank you for changing it into a house of worship in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that. I praise you, Father, in the days ahead that we're going to see that we're going to, people's going to walk into a church and the glory of God would follow you and everybody in there would drop to the knees in repentance. And Father, I thank you for that anointing upon all of those that you have chosen to do that, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And I thank you, Father, for this great revival that's coming. This great revival that's coming to bring all the people into the kingdom. And I thank you, Father, that the people that we have prayed for, our family members and our friends, you have already started the work on them to bring them into the kingdom, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. And those that have fallen away, Lord, I thank you for picking them up and bringing them back in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. I believe it. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to see the greatest revival that mankind has ever seen here in just a little while. Praise be to God forevermore. Does anybody else want to pray a good warrior prayer?
That was a good prayer, Michael. Lord.
It's a good prayer when he's answered, right? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I believe it. I believe it too. Praise God. I thank you, Lord, that the very ground that we walk on is blessed. And everywhere we bless people, they will be blessed. I thank you, Lord, that when we declare and decree something that you want us to declare and decree, it'll happen instantly. In Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that there's going to be men and women here that when they touch somebody, they're going to be instantly healed. And I thank you for that, Father. Not only that, that demons will manifest when we walk by and we'll be able to cast them out. In Jesus' name. Lord, I believe everything that I pray is going to come to pass. In Jesus' name. that everywhere that everybody here goes, that is has given everything up to you, Lord, the light of Jesus Christ is going to be like a lighthouse walking down the street, Lord. People are going to wonder who and what you are, and then you'll be able to tell them that's the light of Jesus. And you can have the same light. Thank you, Jesus. I did want to thank everybody that has volunteered to help out in the Angelica in these videos, and well, she's excited that she's got so much help now. It's awesome. Thank you so much. Y'all know who you are. And those that wanted to and couldn't, thank you also. Just keep praying for them. Pray for Angelica and all the people that's helping out on these videos. That's a big job, Chuck, Julie, Debbie, all of them that are helping out. Monroe's now. Sunny Hill's now. Benita. Who else? And I know Cheryl will be here before too much longer because she's going to get some money here. She's going to be able to do whatever she wants to do. Praise God. Provisions are coming, Cheryl. And she got to run back to her computer or... All right, has anybody else got something they'd like to share? We've got 25 minutes. Yeah, Debbie.
Okay, things you've shared and read and that song I'm thinking about and wanting to pray for is people of God who, you know, they've made this world their home. They've made it their home. You know, many Christians, they don't realize this is not their home. They might say it, but they're so, hung up on their jobs, so consumed by them. And that, you know, there's just prosperous ease among God's people. And, I just know of some that are really caught up in it, and so I just want to pray for God's people that are in that way, you know. And I know He has to set us free more too from things of this life, and that it will not be our home. But God, I just pray for those, Lord God, that are Your people, Lord, but they're just following the ways of everyone else, Lord God, and they're just striving in this world, God, to make a living. Just striving to make all the needs met for their children. They're just striving to get all their bills paid, Lord God. And, oh Lord God, they've just made this place their home, and they're not realizing that's really not their home. But I just pray You do a mighty work in convicting Your people, Lord. Especially those, God, that You are calling and wooing to you, God, to be in Your bride, Lord God, that they will feel that wooing and that drawing, Lord God, and that many will want to just lay down with things they are doing, Lord, to give them up, Lord God, and be able to trust You, Father, and give their life over to You, Lord God, and learn too about sitting at Your feet, Lord God, and receiving from You and giving unto You, Lord. I just pray, Lord, to Your people, God, that need to let go, Lord God, of this world, Lord, that You will help them, God, so that when these hard times come, God, they will be able to let go and not be, they don't want any of them partaking of the beast, Lord God. And just pray that You deliver many so that they'll be delivered from that, Lord God. And, I just thank You, God, doing a mighty work and lead us to those that need to be prayed for. That we would be praying, Lord, and believing You that You're going to do that work in them, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord.
Amen. Thank You, Father. Glory to God. I'm leaving with the Lord. Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I guess I wanted to share that yesterday when we opened this up, and it was about Mary, Martha, you know, Mary. And yesterday I was laying here on the couch and I was thinking about all these, about time with the Lord. And I heard Martha, Martha. Was that scripture? And I was thinking about it and started speaking to the Lord and said, oh yeah, so Lord, told Martha that Mary has chosen the best thing, and that's what she is doing, and that's sitting at your feet. And so it's like, I thought, wow, sitting at the Lord's feet. You know, they didn't have a whole lot of social things back in those days, you know, that consumed them. Maybe it was easier to sit at the Lord's feet then, but today it's quite harder, but that's what he wants. And I just had such a feeling of, oh, I just want to sit at your feet all the time, Lord. I just want to sit at your feet. But it's like, it's, then you get up and start doing all these things, and you know, the day goes on, and it's like, oh God. So I just pray, Lord, help me, Lord, to really want to spend more time sitting at your feet, Lord God, that we would just set things aside and be able to spend hours at your feet, Lord God, and even being at your feet in our thoughts. When we're about our day, when we're doing things and going places, God, that in our minds, in our spirit, we're sitting at your feet, Lord God. I pray you put us in that place, Lord. It'll be that real to us, God, that we can do it when we're even doing things we have to do, Lord. I thank you. Help me in that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I just thought of something. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, I was just thinking about Martha there. When he said, Martha, Martha, but did she learn her lesson? Because when Lazarus was in the tomb there, she was the first there at Jesus' feet after. Wasn't it Martha? I don't know. Was it Martha or Mary that came running to Jesus there? I think it was Martha. Yeah, so she gave it on her lesson, you know, and she said, well, Lord, if you've only been here, you know, and of course the conversation did go on after that. So she did come to the feet of Jesus, you know, and he did counsel her on him being the Lord of the resurrection also. And it just came to pass. Yeah. So I guess she did learn her lesson. Yeah. Praise God.
Well, she got a direct correction right straight from Jesus' mouth, you know, made an impact on her, apparently.
Yeah, I guess it did. What an impact, too, huh?
Yeah.
She was at his feet, and look what happened. Her brother rose up.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Well, this may be the last. Next pot blessing is going to be at my house if we have a pot blessing. All right. Has anybody got anything they'd like to share? Prayer, song. What y'all think about that word from the Lord? Some progressive intimacy. Ah, yeah. There's another one.
Can you send that one out?
What?
Can you send that out on progressive,
Well, you can buy, you can get it on, Kindle, on Amazon. It's called Progressive Intimacies.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's on Kindle. Yep. Everybody's child's about over. Whoa. Yeah. Okay. You know, I thought that would have been a good word to talk about, but apparently we kind of run out of it. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Can I ask, Debbie,
your volume's way low, Joe.
I want to ask Debbie, or anybody else, how do you keep your mind, say, for instance, we talked about a little bit on Tuesday, how do you keep your mind on Christ, say, for instance, you're making food, and I put a CD the word in the background, and I'm listening to it. But when I caught myself, I was thinking about something else. And it's how do you keep your mind on the word or listening to and not getting distracted by what you're doing? Somebody had a thought.
Okay. Message got the answer.
Well, my little bit, 2 cents. I asked the Lord to just, you know, I know what you mean, Joe. You know, it's like you're listening to something and then all of a sudden you're, you know, I just asked the Lord, you know, Lord to help me keep my mind on him, to stay focused. And that when I wander off, you know, to get my attention that I'm doing that. And the more that you know, it's like every time you change your mind, you repent and go back. That to me is what repentance is just changing your mind from what you were thinking about to what thinking about the Lord. And the more, you know, I believe the more I do that, because my experience in other things, you know, like, for instance, when I used to have a problem with anger, you know, I'd apologize to my husband or my son, you know, and that just helped me overcome that. And I actually even said to my husband, I must be the sorriest person that ever walked the earth, because it seemed like every time I turned around, I was saying, I'm sorry. But what I'm saying is, you know, just, you know, just acknowledge, okay, you know, my thought is, hey, Lord, I wandered off, okay, and I thank you for bringing my attention to that. Forgive me, help me just continue to keep my mind on you. And, you know, it's the Lord that's going to do it in me, you know. It's the Lord, by his grace, that does it in us. It's not anything that I can do, but just repent and say, okay, Lord, you just, by your grace, keep bringing me back. And the more I do that, the more, you know, by his grace, the more it's going to, less and less, I'm going to wander off in my thoughts, you know?
Saying it's more of a discipline thing than anything?
Well, yes and no, because it's the Lord, you know. Yeah. Ask the Lord, Lord, help me to not wander off. And if I do, give me the grace to not wander off in my thoughts. And if I do, bring it to my attention that I can repent and come back and get my mind on, you know, this Bible study, which is keeping your mind on him, because it's filled with the word, or just keeping my mind on him in the middle of whatever it is I'm doing, talking to him, and you know, talking to him about what I'm doing, you know, help me do this, Lord, or whatever, you know, or, well, Lord, what do you think I should do here, you know, or, you know, like cooking. You think, you know, because I come up with these bright ideas sometimes about cooking, and I realized that maybe it wasn't my, you know, a good idea because I didn't ask the Lord. You know, I don't stop sometimes and ask the Lord, well, should I do this, you know? But anyway, I'm just saying. just yeah. I need to include him in everything, you know, in everything.
Indeed. That's good. All right, Judy.
Miss Ed did something similar. Thomas, a few years ago, this was just really important to me. I just wanted to worship the Lord with music, and I didn't want to be distracted, and I just wanted to have this atmosphere that there wasn't going to be, you know, distractions, demonic oppression, things I had been, you know, battling with and stuff. And, you know, I just prayed and asked the Lord. I said, this is what I want to do. That I just want to worship you like you're here. I want to sing to you like you're here, you know, it was, you know, I confessed what I wanted and I asked the Lord to do it. I asked, I can't remember how I prayed, but you know what? It worked. I had the most wonderful time of just praising and singing to the Lord for the time that I did. And, you know, so he honors that you really want that. He sees your heart that you really want that. You want to spend time. You want to spend time with him. You want to devote, you know, be devoted to him. And you don't want the distractions. Thank you. Yeah, I was wondering, where is that coming from? Yeah. But anyhow, it is partially as discipline and self-control. And it's, I want to do this. And it's like, I know I can't because I've got a whole host of enemies out there that want to put all kinds of stuff in my mind, distract me when I'm trying to listen to a Bible study or just sit be still before the Lord and meditate on his word. You know how it all goes. So it's like, you know, sometimes it's just, I think we have to just do warfare about it and just bind up everything that, you know, that would distract me. And it's like, and I mean what I say, and I command the angels to get this stuff out of here so I can do what the Lord's telling me to do. And I know he wants me here. You know, and I don't want to be distracted by this. And Lord, help me to be disciplined and just, you know, if I hear my phone going off or emails or text messages or whatever it is, that I can just say, I don't want to hear that, you know, and just focus. And it's hard because part of my old programming and working was all my work was coming through emails. Like, well, what if it's so-and-so? Maybe I should try to look, you know. Maybe I should look to see who's reaching me, you know, and asking me for something or whatever. So there's that. It's like, Lord, if I want to spend this time with you, then I can do it because I know all my work. I can set that aside for now and just focus on you, even if it's only for an hour, and then I can get back to it, you know. And if it's urgent, they'll call me. They'll just call me, right? So that's kind of how I leave it to sometimes, so. You know, because we do have responsibilities, but, you know, we have to put the Lord first. And that first part you read tonight, Michael, about, you know, the guy that had all these treasures and stuff, and, you know, and he was, when the Lord said to, you know, sell all you have and follow me, but he had all these idols he was putting before the Lord, and he couldn't do it. It's like, well, what am I putting before you, God, that I would rather do this than come sit at your feet, or focus on spending time with you now, you know, at this particular time, whatever, you know, that I'm doing. And it's like, you know, Lord, deliver me from that. Deliver me from these, you know, these old habits or just things where my flesh wants what it wants first, you know, and that could be anything. So, yeah, that kind of resonated with me a little bit when we read that. Because an idol can be anything you're putting before doing what you really feel like the Lord's drawing you or you want this, but then all these other things start coming into your mind. You know, I know it's a sin nature, and I thank you, Lord, for, you know, Romans chapter 7, what Paul said, you know, who's going to deliver me from this body of flesh, you know, sin. And thank you, Jesus, you already did that for me. And all of us, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So it is a warfare just to get along with the Lord sometimes. I think that's part of our battle. That's all I have.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Debbie.
You said the word deliver, Julie. So I was just telling Sue today about how me and these, the thoughts that were, been so long coming at me all the time. And there's thoughts against, like, not against, but about my family, things they're thinking. They're thinking the wrong thing, believing the wrong things, thinking about UBM, about me, thinking about things in my past. Thoughts will just come. I was constantly casting it down. Just cast down in this vain imagination, you know, always doing that. And but it got like, it seemed to be bombarding me so much. I just had to keep doing that. And I finally asked the Lord a couple of days ago, I said, Lord, deliver me from these thoughts. I need your deliverance. And he gave it to me. It really helped me. I just, I realized, whoa, I'm not having this struggle in my mind and all these thoughts coming at me. Cause a lot of it was wanting to stir up condemnation inside of me. And for my past, you know, and thinking back on past relationships and I wonder what that person's thinking of me today. And just crazy stuff that it just comes from the devil, because isn't things like, you know, a job or thinking on things like that, or what should I cook, or just crazy other thoughts that were just so, destructive in a way. I don't know what the word I want, overtook me. And so I just knew that I just cried to God for deliver me. And he did. So I haven't had that for a couple of days now. This attack of these thoughts, like attack, constant. So thank the Lord. I mean, this, the thoughts still come. We have to, like you said, Julie, we have to just cast them down. We can't let them deter us from what we're doing and God wants to do in us, what he wants us to be busy with. So. But he helps us do that anyway. But these, it could be, Joe, like you're talking about, maybe ask God to deliver you. Just deliver me from this attack of these thoughts. Deliver me. And he will. Amen.
Thank you.
Are you finished, Debbie? Okay. Andrew, did you have something you want to add? I saw you raise your hand a while ago. Okay.
I really can't remember anymore.
Okay.
Sometimes I wonder if it's a temptation that you know, there's a lot of exhortation in the Bible. The Lord gives us a lot of warnings because he loves us, and sometimes just, you know, that there's so many of them, it's just, you tend to have a thought put in your head that's not supposed to be in there, on the wrong side of these exhortations. You know, if the Comforter is going to be sent to you, the Holy Spirit, in his name, and he's going to teach you all things and remind you of everything. So, this omnipresent Holy Spirit, the Father is over you, in you, and through you, as it says in 4 and 7 of Ephesians. You know, he's going to walk in you, as 2 Corinthians 6 and 16. I will dwell in them and walk and be their God. You know, just think on those verses there, you know. Think about the fellowship. The communion, you know, who's there, you know, maybe it's just, all these warnings that the dark side is using that against you too, you know, and you can't do that because that's God's warning. That's God's loving care for you. And I just thinking that way, you know, maybe it's bad. It could be because I read 2 Peter chapter 2, you know, and every single one of those verses there is pretty much accomplished today. If you were, if you had playing cards and each one of those verses was a playing card, the world has them all right now. And I don't know if it always had all those 22 verses, but, you know, and they're all exhortations. Because it's talking about false prophecy and false teaching. So, there's quite a bit of admonishing and exhorting you, and you just have to remember it's all in love. Praise God. I was just a thought.
Yeah. All right. Anyone else? We're about out of time. Teresa, you got a door that opens and closes back there by itself. You got angels coming in and out all the time.
Yeah, I know. I just let it open and close.
Okay. All right. No, that's okay. It's up to you. I was just thinking it might be angels coming in and out. Oh, that's an RV.
Yeah, that's an RV.
Oh, okay. I couldn't tell.
Yeah, I'm living in my son's old RV.
Okay.
So, the story is he asked me to come from Idaho because he didn't like me fending for myself up there in the woods. Off grid, cutting my own wood, you know, and I'm almost 70. I'm 68. And so Jesse said, Mom, would you please come back to Kansas and spend time with your kids and grandkids? Well, I did. And, I get to live in his old camper while he's trying to build me a cabin.
Okay, I think you'd have something here in a little bit, too. Hey, have y'all heard of those modular houses? Those, the fold-up houses that Elon Musk is making? Y'all heard of those? I don't see anybody's response. Apparently not.
Is that folding box thing that you're sharing?
Yeah.
Elon Musk is behind that? He's building those?
Yep. Yeah, he's building factories. It takes a great big factory to build those, and they're really one of a kind of house. And they're secure, they're highly insulated, and they're modular. And boy, they're nice. It looks like, and you can build a two story if you want to. They'll stack on top of one another. Yeah. Maybe they pull it in there on the truck, put it out, and within just a little bit there, you'll have a house ready to go. And I suspect that they tie it down on some kind of a foundation. Yeah, they'd have to, because they say it's not like a mobile home, so apparently they have to tie it down some kind of way. It's really neat. Look them up. What do they call them? The fold-out houses.
Boxables.
How much?
Boxables.
Yeah, boxables. B-O-X-A-B-L-E. Yeah, if you need a small house, build those things. They start out at 60 grand. I don't know what trailers cost, but I expect it's probably around alongside the same kind of thing. Dude. Okay, looks like we're out of time. Lord, I thank you for blessing us tonight. Bless everybody tonight for their day. And Lord, we thank you for that. And we thank you, Father, for getting us all ready to get the gospel out. In Jesus' name. Amen. And all right.